right, as I take a nice deep breath, I'm going to ask us to just pause and close your eyes. And any unsaid prayers this morning, those that were not mentioned out loud, bring them to the Lord at this time. Perhaps it might be a prayer for the person sitting right next to you. Amen. This morning we will be reading from Luke 13, verses 1 through 9. I'd like you to follow along in your Bible this morning. Repent or perish. Luke 13, verses 1 through 9. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish." And then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. And so he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." In this reading, we hear Jesus teaching us that tragedy and death can come to anyone at any time. He is warning them that there is a danger in not being saved by God's grace prior to death. We learn from this passage the people questioning Jesus about two tragedies that had recently occurred. The Galileans were conquered and killed by Pilate and his men, and it was reported that the Roman soldiers actually poured the blood of the Galileans onto the altar of the temple. And then a tower had fallen and crushed at least 18 people to death. There was this assumption that those victims were more sinful than others. The others probably thought, "I'm not that bad, so I'm okay. I didn't die in an accident." Well, Jesus boldly shares that these tragedies are a reminder of the fragility of life and the need for repentance. He encourages them to stop feeling content and stop denying their sins. Jesus calls for the people to repent. If repentance does not occur, those who sin will perish. There's an urgency to turn to God and to seek forgiveness. Quite often, we refuse to accept our sins. We don't see it in ourselves. And we don't admit it to others. We may try to ignore it, make excuses, hide it away. Within this passage, Jesus shares to repent or be judged at least three times. We ought not be so prideful that we do not feel the need to repent. Tragedies will happen. People become ill. Accidents occur. There are often natural disasters. In some specific areas more than others, it seems they get hit with tragedy after tragedy. We need to be right with God this instant, this minute. Simply in our daily lives, we need to be right with God. The key is to repent for your sin. We do not ever need to suffer for unrepented sins. The sins we repent for become washed away, and it becomes easier to not commit those sins again once we repent for those sins. Once we truly say we are sorry, Once we truly ask for forgiveness, it becomes easier not to do that sin again. I think that's a gift to us. During the tragedies mentioned in these verses, there were some Jews who were sharing that God was judging those who killed. They kept persisting. It was as if they are saying, boy, I'm glad I'm not one of them. I'm not as bad as them. And they began to exalt themselves. We too may think that we're okay. However, none of us is free from sin. On our own, we fall to sin pretty quickly. That's why we're blessed to have this church family and our Christian friends and God's word in our hand so that we don't fall quickly to sin. Our society seems to follow this belief. I'm not that bad. I'm okay. If he does it, I can do it. God hasn't judged me yet, so I must be okay. We mustn't play so very innocent. None of us is free from sin. We know that sin destroys, that it destroys the soul. We must show genuine remorse and confess our sin and repent. Luke 13:3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. One definition of repentance is to change one's mind. Jesus is basically stating that we need to change our mind if we want to unify with him. He encourages us to be living in a spiritual life. When we start thinking about others and not ourselves, we actually start doing what the Lord wants rather than only doing what we want. When we start thinking about others and caring for others and loving others, we actually start doing what the Lord wants. With repentance comes an intimacy with our Lord. I have a brief story that goes along with this service. J.D.P. wrote this. That's all that was given. At the height of my tomboy period and the beginning of ninth grade, I was introduced to the world of home economics. How do you think tomboys felt about going into home economics? Well, it was hate at first sight. I wanted to be playing ball, riding horses, even picking cotton, anywhere other than in this small rural classroom, learning sissy stuff like cooking and child rearing and, worst of all, sewing. My teacher, Mrs. Wilmoth, probably grasped the immensity of her teaching task when I tied the first fruits of my sewing labor, an apron, around my waist, and the strings fell to the floor. Undaunted, she gave me another assignment, a dress. Never mind the fact that I hated wearing the things, never mind that I was all thumbs and I picked up scissors and fabrics, Mrs. Wilmoth wanted a dress, so she got a dress. Actually, the finished product didn't look too bad on the outside. But Mrs. Wilmoth turned the dress wrong side out and coldly inspected the inside, an outrageous conglomeration of knotted threads, crooked seams, small holes where I'd ripped out too often, and skipped threads the dumb bobbin kept messing up. Young lady, this is quite unacceptable. Mrs. Wilmoth's voice had that no-nonsense tone, and I asked her in my meekest voice, why was that inside so important? You don't see the inside. Nobody would be looking at that. Well, after this dress is washed a few times, the seams will ravel and part away. Always remember that if the quality of the inside is poor, it won't be long until the outside begins to show the results. That dear, unsung heroine of years ago was right. When I allow resentments, envy or anger coming to the inside of me, it wasn't going to be long until my outward appearance would change. I would become impatient, unforgiving, and unkind. It's only through prayer and meditation that I once again become the loving person that I long to be. If we keep the sins, the jealousy, the list of things that hurt us, if we keep them on the inside, they will eventually come out. The fig tree parable is in verses 6 through 9. So if you turn back to your Bibles, Luke 13, verses 6 through 9. Glance through the verses. Read silently. This fig tree parable, Jesus is using to reiterate the importance of repentance and bearing fruit. Spiritual fruit, which can be interpreted as good deeds and living a life that reflects faith. A man planted a fig tree, but it did not bear fruit. It stood for 3 years with no fruit. As the owner orders the tree to be cut down, the gardener begs to have one more year to help nurture the tree. Do you ever look around you and notice the people with family and friends who nurture them thrive? Through repentance and living a nurtured life that reflects faith, the fruits of the Spirit are revealed within us, and we are blessed with God's grace and His patience as our lives change and grow to bear fruit. I love that. Not only are we receiving His grace, but we are receiving His patience. Living a fruitful life means our lives will be filled with good deeds and will be a reflection of our faith, a reflection of God. We should seek God's forgiveness when we fall short. It is always good to spend time to reflect and ask ourselves if our lives are pleasing to God. Have we shown genuine remorse for our sin? Have we shared with someone that we've sinned? Have we prayed with a friend over our sin? Is the fruit we are bearing pleasing to God? What is revealed about us when our lives are turned inside out and sometimes even upside down? What is revealed? Do we break promises? Gossip? Let that anger erupt? Feel jealous? Feel selfish? Become selfish? Do we have impure thoughts? Are we not giving thanks when we ought to be giving thanks? Do we judge others? Repentance is necessary, and it is very possible with God's help. God wanted them all to develop the fruit of the repentance. That's what He wants for all of us. God shows mercy and patience and gives people time. That year in the story, the parable of the fig tree, there was a year of God's mercy, God's sovereign mercy. God holds His own to be accountable, and we must have remorse for our sins. Some standing before Jesus are seeking what makes them happy, are seeking their desires, their own dreams, their own feelings. But Jesus wants us to stop and worship Him and think about others. Theologian William Barclay brought forth these points while studying these verses. He wrote, "If something only takes, it cannot survive. Uselessness invites disaster, and God gives second chances. Repentance is a call to change our actions and our mind and our hearts. It is acknowledging wrongdoing and turning to God for forgiveness with a new beginning. We are to worship and love Him. We are to learn about Him every day. We are to trust Him, be saved, and be set free. Ask for forgiveness and receive forgiveness. This forgiveness will bring peace and rest into your lives. Jesus' death and sacrifice is for each one of us. Repent and experience the joy of forgiveness. Let us pray. Loving God, we come before you with humbled hearts, acknowledging our shortcomings and sins. We repent of our failures to love you as you have loved others. We serve you as you have served others. We follow your teachings faithfully. Walk with us, Lord. Continue to be patient with us. We ask for your forgiveness and for your healing. Help us to turn away from sin and turn toward your grace. Lord, we are grateful that we can come to you with the inward problems that so affect our outward behaviors. Thank you for being there for us always. Renew our spirits and empower us to live lives that honor you. In your precious name, amen.